Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
And I'm Catherine Pearson. I'm the Discerning Childbirth Educator and Wellness Coach here at Dunamos Center Ministries. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationships with God and each other.
So, Catherine, this is it's National Cesarean Awareness Month in April.
Right.
So, I just want to say before we go into the topic, I'm at the tail end of this, like, annoying cold that a lot of people have had the last couple weeks. And so my voice may go in and out. So be ready.
But you have some water, right?
I have water, and I have you to jump in if I can't talk.
Right.
Do you want to kind of talk a little bit about what we are going to discuss today?
Yeah, so with this upcoming month being National Cesarean Awareness, we thought we would talk about that cesarean topic. Also dive into a little bit of, seems to be that planned cesareans are on the increase, or at least, I don't know, that just is the way it feels, I guess, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think in the United States, we're talking about it a lot more at the very least, but I do think that this generation of new moms is exposed to it as a viable option in a way that I know I never thought about, and you probably even didn't think about too much.
No, that's correct. When pregnant with my children, we did talk about, with my second one, we talked about planned induction.
Okay.
Which, even now thinking back, I'm like, ugh, why did I even...
Right, why did that even come
yeah.
up? Why was that even a topic?
But it wasn't planned cesarean, it was planned induction.
Yeah.
And my experience was fortunate in that the induction went well and it didn't end up in cesarean.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you were.
I feel thankful for that.
Yeah, praise God for that.
Yeah.
Before we talk about kind of the environment today, let me lay a little bit of background, maybe some history too.
Sure.
So we know that the C-section rate was pretty low up until the 1970s. The 50s and 60s, it was below 10% for sure, mm-hmm. and probably closer to the 5%. And during that time frame, my mother was actually a surgical nurse in the 1950s and the 1960s. And
oh.
so those nurses took the cesareans into the surgery wing, and they were the ones that attended surgical delivery, is what they called it. To her, when you would talk to her about cesareans, it's like, this is major abdominal surgery. Why is the C-section rate climbing? So now, when I'm in childbearing age and I'm doing childbirth education in the 80s and 90s, she's appalled at the 21% C-section rate and why are so many women being exposed to the dangers of major abdominal surgery,
mm-hmm.
which is what it is, when really they didn't see moms and babies die at huge significant rates above what we see today when they were having a C-section rate of about 5%.
Right.
Okay. So now at that time, the way they did the cesarean, you did ultimately have repeat cesareans because of the way they cut the mom open and how they cut into the muscles. And so it was pretty much once a cesarean, always a cesarean.
Okay.
Okay. So then in the 70s, they started doing the low midline, late 1960s. And before that, they were just cutting down the mother's belly. Just basically
top
just
to bottom.
Top to bottom, just
Oy.
Splitting her open. So that was why they were saying not to do trial of labor
okay.
after that. So
mm-hmm.
then in the 70s, they started doing that, you know, they called it the bikini cut.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard that term. But
so is it underneath the uterus, sort of? Or I mean,
well,
not under the uterus.
Well, under the underside of the mother's extended belly, kind
right,
of
yeah,
on
yeah.
the bikini line. If
okay.
she were to wear a bikini, it's kind of right on that bikini line.
Okay.
And at the time, they were doing layered stitching on all of them. In other words, there's like five layers they have to cut through, and they were just stitching each layer one at a time.
Oh, wow.
Which allowed the mother's body to actually heal really well. And if she were to go for another labor, it didn't really cause a whole lot of impact on the cesarean scar area.
Okay.
So she could go for that trial of labor. So trial of labor was really big if you had the right physician in the 1980s in particular, There were some doctors I knew that let every VBAC try unless there was something in the medical record to truly indicate this mother cannot have a trial of labor because of whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't say I understand every nuance of that.
Right.
But I knew enough doctors that would talk about some of those reasons now and then, and they weren't frequent for them.
Right.
So,
which would indicate it should even repeat cesareans should be a low percentage?
Should be a very low percentage of the moms. So some of the OBs and at the time family practice doctors that attended births when I was doing labor coaching back in the 80s and 90s had VBAC success rates over 85%.
Wow.
So the moms that came to them for a VBAC were having 85% success rate. Then in the 1990s, we started to see them change the way they stitched up cesarean incision.
Okay.
And they started sort of gathering those five layers together and doing a single stitch across all five at one time to speed up the time the doctor spent.
Okay. And that sounds like it's going back to what they did in the...
Well, it was still the bikini cut, but one of the things they started to see over the course of the 1990s was that those single stitch, the single layered stitching is what it was called, actually was more prone to rupture during labor than the multi-layered stitching. So the doctors were starting to ask, you know, how did the doctor sew you up? And we started actually having moms ask in their interview question, if I do need a cesarean, do you do multi-layered or single-layered?
Oh, my gosh,
just
wow.
Just because it was such a significant difference for the VBAC capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the late 1980s, and I wish I could remember his name, but the president of ACOG, which was a man who clearly really didn't like women, if you get down to it, was the one who made the policy and pushed for the policy that if a hospital does not have 24-hour anesthesiology and 24-hour OB surgeons in the hospital,
yeah,
that the hospital was not equipped to do a VBAC.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. If you're not equipped to do a VBAC, you're not equipped to do births at all because we know that there's that 5% that could become a surgical birth at any time.
Yeah.
And so even a mom who didn't have a previous cesarean could become a cesarean at any time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of logic or reasoning was that? Well, also in the 90s, a book came out that was titled, Why Not Just Cut It Out? And that book was written by a doctor in Chicago, and I can't remember his name right now because I'd call him out. I'm not afraid to call out people. And the book essentially was like, why shouldn't women just have elective hysterectomies and elective cesareans just because they want to? And that it was easier on them and blah, 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 blah. And there was really no use for the uterus if it's not for having a baby. Although, you know, in which discounts all the hormone production the uterus is involved in.
Yeah.
And why would women want to subject themselves to labor? And it didn't make any sense to him. And they could schedule the day, which we're going to talk about. They could have control of when the baby came and what time the baby came just about. They could have control of taking time off work, all that kind of thing. Control, control, control.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, if you bottom-lined it, it was the doctor could control his schedule.
Okay. Yeah, well, that makes it really convenient for that doctor, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yeah.
To be able to say, well, I'm doing my deliveries from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and
right,
that's what it is. And then I'm off the rest of the day.
Right. And I don't have to sit around for 30 hours and then at midnight get called to do a surgery because something's going on with the baby,
mm-hmm.
which I created in the first place by prescribing interventions. But, well, I won't go there. That's not today's show.
Not today's topic.
After ACOG came out with that position in the 2000s is when we saw the C-section rate start to really go up. After about 98 is when I saw this policy being knocked around and this president of ACOG talking publicly on talk shows and stuff about how women don't really need the benefit of labor and babies don't need it and it's just easier for everybody to just do cesareans. So in the 2000s, we saw this just skyrocket up to this 33 to 34% in the United
States.
a large majority of that being based on repeat cesareans, because alongside that was the changes in insurance, coming out in the late 1990s. So that's kind of hand in glove. We have to really take those two together as why we ended up where we are.
Yeah, it's a very large industry and one that's very complex, I think.
Yeah.
In the dynamics of, like you said, the policies for the hospitals, but also the insurance policies.
Right. And so the insurance policy started to state that what the hospitals were going to be covering and how they were going to cover them. And so now all of a sudden, if you're on an HMO or, what used to be called a PPO, preferred provider, you had to go to a certain hospital to get it covered by your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But then what if that hospital is one of those ones that's not able to have a VBAC in it because of these ACOG policies, which the hospitals could have still chosen to do them, but then their malpractice insurance companies were practicing medicine and telling them, if you do that, we aren't going to cover you.
What a vicious cycle that we've created. The culture has created.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so bringing out of that has come we see two sides of what's happening now, Catherine, and one is what we talk about here with the post-birth trauma stuff. So we see that contingency of moms at 28% to 30% who've had these cesareans having a very traumatic response.
Right.
But on the other side, we're seeing moms actually accepting this as a viable option culturally.
Right. And I wonder, tell me your thoughts, do you suppose that more women are accepting the C-section and actually actively choosing it because of the traumatic experience that some women have gone through?
I've seen it go both ways, some women choose it because the quote-unquote emergency cesarean piece is what created so much of the fear.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not dealing with fear and that need to be in control because of fear, then they may choose a scheduled cesarean out of just feeling like it's not going to go into this sort of crazy emergency situation.
Right. It'll be quote-unquote controlled and better.
Yeah.
For whatever that word is.
Well, there won't be the panic piece.
Okay, right.
Is what they're talking about, not having the panic piece in there.
Mm-hmm.
The other side is moms who just simply were like, didn't really matter to me, it was fine, I'll just do it again because then we don't have to panic, or it's okay, it was not a big deal to me, so what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got that side, and then you have the ones in the middle who are like, however it goes is whatever, I'm going to try for a natural birth, but if it doesn't go that way, I'm not really going to be all that upset about it.
Yeah.
So there's about three schools. Three ways of moms responding to this. So then what we saw with the C-section rate going up and up and up is, of course, now we have more and more numbers of moms who have had cesareans, just first-time cesareans.
Right.
And we see doctors jumping to faster conclusions for cesarean than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they've got behind them this pressure from this malpractice insurance, and it's causing them to not always practice good medicine.
Right. It's causing them to practice out of fear.
Their fear.
Now. Exactly.
So usually what's driving this C-section rate is fear and control. Control and fear are hit. And I think when we were prepping, I think it was your husband that said, it's the fear of being out of control. So, I thought, that's probably a really good way of stating some of it. Because if a doctor is out of control and something goes south, they end up in malpractice court.
Right. And if a mom is out of control, they end up with a cesarean.
And a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all linking together. So now the last piece in our culture today is the gentle cesarean.
Cesarean, you've said this multiple times. Cesarean is major abdominal surgery.
Right.
Surgery.
Right.
And I don't know that there is anything that's ever gentle about major surgery.
The body almost always will interpret it as an assault, and then the level of that assault, quote unquote, is based on how people interpret life experiences, you know, and how they manage them. All the way around, though, when it comes to surgery, we're trying to make it nicer in the sense of involving the family more, helping the person who had the surgery to actually heal faster, because they have found that the more people are involved and the more they have support around them, the faster they heal. So what we need to do is really then now go from there and talk about what this means for families today. But before we do that, let's give some contact information and maybe talk about the healing book, since we're in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of ways you can reach us. On Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. We would love to have you check out our website, which is simply dunamoscenter.com. Our email address where you can reach us is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. Colleen, you want to give the phone number for where people can give us a call?
Yeah, you can call in. And since we are talking about cesareans, if a mom does have some birth trauma, I do speak to people on the phone because there's not a lot of us in the United States that really can do this. So you can call in and make an appointment for that even at 719-231-7183. Or you could do a premarital or a marriage counseling if you want to really just flip your marriage onto a heart-connected adventure, or start your marriage on a heart-connected adventure. And that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talked about the website.
Yeah, yeah. And people can go there and they can look at our services, but they can also see what books we have for sale. And Dr. Pauline, you just finished up a book about a trauma after cesarean.
Yeah, it's called Won't Somebody Please Hear Me? The subtitle is, I am happy I have a healthy baby, it's the rest of it that sucked. Because moms are always told, just be happy you have a healthy baby, as if they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're just the mechanism to get the product out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're human beings too, and they matter very much.
Absolutely.
And so if you wanted to get that book, which could explain trauma pieces, help you to feel like you understand it a little bit better, and then some ideas for healing, you can order it right from dunamoscenter.com.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Well, the gentle cesarean, I think that's an oxymoron myself. But a lot of people are now saying, well, it's not such a bad choice because we're trying to get the family more involved. We're giving the baby right to them. They're more involved, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, all of that's wonderful if somebody truly, truly needs it. I think that that's great. But now we're trying to make it even more palatable to choose to go against how God created us.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading a blog article. So this is just one person's opinion, but I personally really agree with it. She says, when it comes to the pain of giving birth, you either pay now or you pay later.
Oh, yeah.
I find that to be true. You either go through labor and delivery, which...
Right.
I think you and I don't really like to describe it as painful. It's work. But there's either that process or there is the recovery process from cesarean.
Right. And, you know, people will say, well, if I'm in control in the decision making, then it probably won't be as bad. And I've talked to women who have said that it was such a horrible recovery, even though they felt like the elective cesarean was the right choice at the time, that they would never choose it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like we don't know how our body will handle labor, but we know that God is in it because he designed it.
Right.
We don't know how our bodies are going to respond to the medications involved with a cesarean, the cutting into our bodies, the healing. And there are some side effects that have to be considered when you think about this. It's not just another way to have a baby.
Definitely, yeah. I think a lot of people, Dr. Pauline, go to WebMD to look up various, I have this malady, might it be?
Right, right.
So WebMD may not always be the number one source for medical opinions, but it does have an article about what to expect if you have a cesarean delivery. And there are some very good points on here. It says potential complications include infection, certainly, because you're cutting your body open and exposing it to the air and whatever may be in the air in the hospital. There is also excessive blood loss. Certainly, if you're making a large incision, you're creating the possibility of the body bleeding a lot. There's complications from anesthesia, like you talked about. I know some people, some women talk about just crazy itching all over their body.
Yeah, that's because they had morphine in their epidural. Yeah, the morphine epidurals will cause the itching.
There is also blood clots due to decreased mobility after surgery. Injuries to the bowel and or bladder, because those are right down there where they're making that incision. So those are just a few, and I'm sure there's plenty
of
others.
Well, and I've known the women who've had what's called the spinal headaches. If they accidentally nick the spinal cord, they have headaches and temporary paralysis. And I was reading another lady's discussion about how she would just suddenly fall down after she had had the epidural.
Which is
anesthesia that she used. It's just really sad to say that. But then, you know, we're always looking at, so what are studies saying about, is a cesarean more dangerous or not more dangerous?
And to the moms, to the babies.
Mm-hmm. And we get a mixed bag whenever we look at that.
It's true. There was an article that came out just last week. The title says, planned repeat C-section is not linked to worse child health than VBAC. And so this is just one study that's out there.
But I noticed the study date end was 2007. So we're already talking about 9 years ago. At this point.
True. I don't know why this is just now coming out.
Yeah. And within the last few years, we've seen more studies that are also showing that babies have respiratory problems. You'll see more and more of those C-section babies in the NICU for the respiratory problems. And it's because they need the massaging of the labor to help the lungs to mature and squeeze liquid out of their lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have fluid on their lungs. They have asthmas, they have breathing issues that at a higher rate than babies who are born naturally.
Colleen, it's funny you bring up that issue because WebMD talks about the common myth that babies miss out on the squeezing of vaginal delivery. And their argument is that a fair bit of squeezing does occur as the doctor guides your baby out through the incision he's made. Which, is that really the same as what the process
it cannot be because there's no way that a cut muscle is contracting at the same rate as an uncut muscle. And so again, it's almost like we're looking for stretches to justify that it's okay to go against God's design. I mean, I think of the perfection of the infinite details of labor and birthing, and there is no way that you're going to convince me that a cesarean can ever come close to that when you look at every little detail of how the uterus works, how the oxytocins work, how the squeezing through the birth canal works, how the Heimlich maneuver on an intact perineum slaps down and gets the baby fluid out of its lungs. None of that's going to be the same. They're going to percuss your baby with a little percussion cup. But that's not the same as how God designed this whole system to work. And so there's not that interaction between mom and baby, the symbiotic pressures and hormone and interaction there.
Right.
It's very difficult for me to see things where people are justifying. And I'm just going to say this, too. Even if all things were equal for the outcome of the baby, which I absolutely do not believe, but if they were, why are we still turning our back on how God designed something, regardless?
It's so true. We have a creator that made an amazing system to work together, like you were talking about, the mom's baby, the baby's body, working together in an amazing way.
And there is an emotional maturity that we go through when we labor and birth, isn't there? There's just, it changes us. We are no longer in control.
Right.
We have to learn how to trust life from a different plane.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the spiritual interaction with God? If I'm just going to say, let the doctor do it, I don't have to, you know, people say, well, I have to trust God to get through the surgery. Now you're asking God to get you through something he didn't initiate.
Which is very different from asking God to get you through something that He did initiate, that He did instruct you to do.
Right. You know, we want to talk about things like, you know, how the Bible talks about it. 1 John 16:21, we've mentioned multiple times that a woman will have pain in labor because her time has come, but her pain will turn to joy. And that Jesus has overcome the trouble of the world in verse 31. Then we know in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that women are saved through childbirth. I know when I was doing the birth education and the labor coaching, I saw women achieve a spirituality who were not Christians before they had their baby much faster and sooner than their husbands after they had gone through labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with the cesarean moms, I'm not saying it can't happen, but the natural birth moms,
mm-hmm.
especially, started questioning that there was a creator, that there was something beyond ourselves.
Well, and Dr. Pauline, you've talked too about, you know, when you're going through labor and delivery, a woman is laying down her life. She is sacrificing her own preferences, her own desires and wishes, probably, because get to the delivery.
Right. And a lot of women might argue, well, I'm doing the same thing with the cesarean. And my answer is, no, you're not. Because God says we do not know the hour and the day of things. And we should not know the hour and the day of things.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a day that He ordained for each life to come into the world and for each life to leave this world.
Yeah.
And so if you don't wait on that day, you've right there just denied God access to your world.
Right.
Just in that. Now, I want to be clear. We're not saying there's never, ever, never a reason for this. There is that 5% or less that would die. I see this as God's provision in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Have you asked Him?
Exactly. When our show is called Your Juno Moss Life.
Yes.
So we're encouraging our listeners, have you walked through and asked God, what would He have you do? He's given you the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer. So how is that Holy Spirit leading you to walk through this process?
Right.
Is He leading you to surgery? We hope not, but it's a possibility. Or is He leading you to really trust and lay down your life to get through this process and see how He would work in your life,
and
mature your spirituality, etc.?
So people, there's many reasons that fear gets a hold. The medical system is pressuring them, the doctors, the nurses. Well, you don't want to take a chance. They're threatening them, basically, with their child's life, even for a pre-planned cesarean.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't guarantee if that it'll be okay. This would just be easier for you. And then, Dad, I just want to say, if it's your fear that's pressuring your wife for a cesarean, remember that 1 Peter 3:7. If you don't live with your wife in an understanding way, your prayers aren't even answered.
Yeah.
And not only that, you're letting fear control what happens to your wife and child. You will be held accountable for that before God. So I have to say that. But together, you can go to Psalm 25:12, where it says, "Who are they that fear the Lord?" Okay, so all this fear in the world's coming at you, but do you fear man? Do you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, which is what this is saying, He will teach them the way that they should choose. Because people say, I don't know, how am I going to hear from God? Well, fear Him first. In other words, you just go, well, you know, my parents are pressuring me, everybody's pressuring me, blah, blah, blah. I'm worrying about fitting in with man more than I am about what God is saying about this.
Right.
So He's going to tell you what you need to do.
Right. What you just read, Pauline, it says He will teach you.
Right.
We encourage you to trust in that He will teach you and show you.
He will teach you. He will give you the information you need to make the choice that He is putting before you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, if we fear the Lord, you His Holy One.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're born again, you're one of His Holy Ones.
Yay.
For those who fear Him have no want. So if you're thinking, how am I ever going to know what God wants? Start with fearing Him before man. Start with your decision-making there.
Mm-hmm.
Sit quietly. And, you know, our choices for a discerning childbirth, the workbook and the seminar, we have a whole section in there on how to sit, how to connect with God. And, you know, that workbook is also available for order on dunamoscenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
So
check it out.
Check it out. So we're running out of time, which is sad. I think this is a really good discussion, and I hope people are really getting something out of it. And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we are going to talk with you next week.